39 grueling years. That is how long the Filipina suffragist movement fought for women to earn the right to vote and actively participate in politics. Before this monumental turn in history, only Filipino men aged 21 and above were legally allowed to cast their votes. After an extensive campaign to inform and encourage more women to vote affirmatively to the movement, the Filipina suffragists reaped success when Philippine Commonwealth President Manuel L. Quezon signed these rights into law in 1937. Today, nearly a century later, the Philippines has seen great strides towards gender equality in the field of politics. Women have since been able to take office across all levels of the government, including the two highest executive seats, the presidency and the vice presidency. Moreover, many of these women leaders have also crafted legislation like the Magna Carta for Women and formed organizations such as the Philippine Commission on Women to better protect Filipinas all over the country. But the fight remains far from over. Although the Philippines is the top-performing Asian country with regards to gender equality, the political landscape continues to be male-dominated. As of 2021, men account for 76.9% of all elected officials. President Rodrigo Duterte's administration has also witnessed him making misogynist remarks over the years. In response to rumors of his daughter Sarah supposedly succeeding him in early 2021, President Duterte called women unfit for the position as they were, quote, more emotional compared to men. Statements such as these, especially when spoken by the highest serving official of the country, have only further enabled more sexist attacks against women who are in politics. With the 2022 elections drawing nearer, discussing this persistent gender gap in the realm of politics rises to a greater urgency. What does this female representation, or lack thereof, mean for gender equality as a whole in the country? Welcome to On Point, the Guidon's podcast arm where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. Today, we will be talking to Filipina activist and Kabataan Partylist Representative Sarah Ilago to discuss the gender gap in Philippine politics and the importance of female representation in a traditionally male-dominated field. I'm Maria Tenido. Let's go On Point. First of all, thank you so much for joining us today, Ms. Sarah. How are you doing?
Hi, Ria. Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah, representing the Youth Sectoral Party, Kabataan. We're currently on our campaign trail, with our ongoing consultations and constituency work, looking forward to having more spaces for collaboration, cooperation, and putting forward the youth and people's agenda in and out of Congress, starting from our communities.
And since you're speaking of campaigns, we know that your term as a youth representative is actually about to come to an end. How has it been like preparing for this exit?
Before Congress, I served as the national president of the National Union of Students of the Philippines. So I think it won't be different once I end my term. I'd still be, and I hope to still be active in contributing to crafting meaningful reforms, not only in Congress, but in all public political processes where the people's voices need to be heard and their concerns and issues addressed.
Now let's dive a bit more into your term as a House representative. So in this term, you have written and co-written many laws. One of the most notable of these is House Bill 5712, which has led up to what is now known as the Salary Standardization Law of 2019. With that, I'd just like to ask, what particular advocacies and issues close to your heart have made you want to run for office in the first place?
One that is very close to my heart and one that is on top of the legislative agenda of kabataan sa upholding the right to quality and accessible education. And this has, in fact, inspired the push for a comprehensive, a free public higher education bill in Congress, which was later incorporated in the now landmark law, Universal Access to Quality Tertiary Education, or Republic Act number 10931.
Mm-hmm.
At first, we had a lot of naysayers saying that this is impossible, or we don't have the money or fiscal space for this. But we've proven them wrong so far, and we've shown them that through a persistent assertion of our demand for quality and accessible education at all levels, we can definitely make the seemingly impossible possible. And to us, in times that we feel like throwing in the towel, it's this victory, the passage of the landmark law on free public higher education in 2017, which now benefits at least 2 million students nationwide, that inspires us to continue what we do and reminds us of why we do what we do in Congress, that is having a critical, independent, and progressive youth representation. This victory is a testament to the power of organized and collective action, not only from the youth, but also the Filipino people who continue to work together to protect the right to education. And this type of solidarity, can really bring out the best from our ranks. Kaya yan talaga yung batayan ng ating hindi lang ng mga tagumpay, kundi ng ating pagpapatuloy ng laban at ng paninindigan.
Very well said. Ang layo talaga ng narating, from student activism to now being able to legislate for these groups that you advocate for. How does it feel to have done that? To have written legislation for these groups that you feel so strongly for?
Lagi ko sa tingin ko, hindi to mawawala doon sa aking advokasya, hindi lang sa personal na antas, pero sa kolektibo na consciousness ng mga kabataan na yung isang matagal ng laban para sa kalidad at abot kaya, abot kamay, libreng edukasyon sa public universities and colleges at tagumpay, ay magsisilbing tuntungan ng mas marami pang tagumpay para sa mga susunod na henerasyon. Kaya pinangahawakan talaga natin to bilang isang inspiration. Sa akin, bilang isang youth representative, this just proves that the young people remain to be a very positive assets of our society. So we must really support them, support young people in their active search for opportunities, to lead, to take initiative, and for us to work with and alongside them, to continue calling on the government as the principal duty bearer of rights to protect the rights and fundamental freedoms of young people as these rights and freedoms to empower them to contribute to the overall development of our country and uplifting the lives of our kababayans. Kailangan suportahan yung kanilang karapatan at mga batayang kalayaan. Kasi kung wala yan, na pinaglaban din naman ng mga nauna sa atin na para muna rin pinagkakaitan ng karapatan para makapag-ambag ng buong-buo ang mga kabataang Pilipino.
Yun nga, bumabalik at bumabalik tayo palagi sa fact na the youth can represent our sector in politics. So, you also mentioned it yourself that even prior to being elected into office, you have already been actively involved in politics since your years of being a student. What has this journey of activism and political involvement been like for you?
hindi siya naging madali at talagang masalimuot na proseso no, para sa akin. Kasi bata pa lang, nag-manage na ako ng stuttering eh. It's a disfluency disorder. No? Kaya sa bahagi ko, hindi ko talaga na-imagine no, na magiging miyembro ako ng Congress sa pagkakukasan ko. No? Never had I ever imagined that I would become a party-less representative. I neither had the slightest interest nor idea. For me, it is something unthinkable and super impossible because this work demands delivering speeches, debates, facilitating consultation and discussion, and speaking in public spaces. In class, no, then, no, I only get to participate in recitation through writing my answers in a mini blackboard. Usually, yung likod ng illustration board. Yung
taba. Taba. Yes.
It was actually in third grade when I finally mustered the courage to drop that mini board, recite in class, and the rest is history. Sa akin, no, if not for my family's and friends' support and guidance, I wouldn't have the will to survive bullying in school. They often reminded me then that though the circumstances of my speech may never change, my perspective can. Naalala ko pa rin hanggang ngayon yung sinasabi nila na magsalita ka lang. Every speaking moment is an opportunity to learn. Every speaking moment is an opportunity to exercise fluency and hopefully manage, no, and overcome stuttering. At nakita ko nga, no, na ngayon, kumbaga, mas manageable na siya, no, para sa akin. At very thankful din ako because I realized at an early age how trust and support can truly make a difference in a child or in a young person's life. And so as I worked on improving my fluency through joining the drama and glee clubs, I've always felt this strong consciousness and desire to become a person whom my family and friends can talk to and rely on in times of adversity. Kumbaga gusto ko rin na maging tao na kung paano sila naging sa akin nung mga panahon na sobrang nahihirapan ako. Kaya yun yung isa no, sa mga malalim ko na hugot pagdating sa pagbibigod sa kapwa, sa komunidad, sa simbahan man yan, sa eskwelahan, at ngayon nga no, sa Kongreso.
I'm so glad you talked about these things from childhood kasi pag naiisip yata natin yung let's say, getting involved into politics, dun lang tayo diretso sa, bakit gusto mong maging politiko, ganun. We don't look far enough into, say, yun nga, childhood struggles that might have motivated you to push forward to begin with. Now, going on to the part that's, I guess, a little later in life, what specific challenges have you faced both as an activist and legislator?
Abi Ria, gusto ko lang din magkwento tungkol sa sa student leadership kasi sa tingin ko ito talaga yung kumbaga nagpapatatag sa akin eh mula noon hanggang ngayon. Well, first it's during my junior year in college when I was presented with the opportunity to run for the student elections as an independent candidate. Pwede, sabi ko. At first, my aim had only been to cap my university life by leading high-impact, value-adding, student-led livelihood projects for the urban poor communities near our college. Nasa College of Home Economics ako noon, nasa gilid siya ng UP Diliman. Tapos, konting tapos ko lang. Ang dami ng mga bahay, mga community.
Tama. Yes. Yes, I've seen
this. Oo. Magkapit-bahay lang tayo, Ria.
Kaya nga.
Alam niyo yung mga communities dyan, di ba, marami?
Marami.
At talaga sabi ko, gusto kong karirin, kumbaga, yung pwede kang makatulong sa community through various community extension and outreach programs. Sabi ko, marami akong pwedeng matulong. Na-realize ko na ako pala yung sobrang natulungan ng experience. Because of a student leader's influence in shaping a public opinion, student leaders' influence in the decisions of our policymakers and the national discourse, I realized that to be a youth and student leader in a university demands that you speak up, not only for the student sector, but the students, no, as citizens of this nation. Hindi lang sila estudyante, kumbaga, ng school mo, mm-hmm. pero mga mamamayang Pilipina sila.
Mm-hmm.
It demands that we persevere in adding our voices, no, to the millions who are still experiencing multiple forms of abuse, exploitation, discrimination, and tyranny. And this type of leadership, no, can actually work to serve or challenge the status quo. No, pwede niyang pagsilbihan kung ano yung meron tayo ngayon o i-challenge yung mga nakikita nating mali. No. And to me, awakening to this type of leadership is being responsible to the influence that we have on our constituents, our schoolmates, and our kababayans.
Mm-hmm.
Kapag yung decision mo, hindi lang sa'yo makaka-apekto yan. Mm-hmm. Hindi lang si Sarah Elago, pero makaka-apekto yan sa buhay at kinabukasan ng mga constituents mo. No, kaya talagang sa bahagi ko, nakita ko na sobrang halaga din ng ganitong value ng pamumuno, ng ganitong tipo ng leadership sa pagiging isang public servant. No? At the heart of our duty as a youth party's representative is adding our voice, no, of to the marginalized, no, in Congress. This mandate on genuine representation requires me to not only speak but speak up, no, mm-hmm. because silence when a clear position is necessary, no, silence whenever the situation of our constituents needs to be put on the record. This silence is a huge disservice to our fellow youth and the next generation of Filipinos. Hindi pwede naman nahimik ka na pag kailangan kang magsalita. What we say and do today determines not only our future, no, but the future of the next generation. This is how important a critical, independent, and progressive voice is in Congress. Sobrang halaga mm-hmm. na may tunay na boses ang mga kabataan sa loob ng Kongreso.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nga naman. It's nice to hear about yung whole journey of realizing this from such an early age. And now, you're at the point where you are ending relatively long run in Congress. But here, I'd like to get a little heavier with the topic because I think most of our listeners might also know that you have consequently also been in the face of many attacks, such as red tagging, disinformation campaigns, and even manipulated content with you as the subject. I feel more so even in the last few years. I'm sure that it must have been hard to deal with these things, no? So I'd like to ask, what goes through your mind when this happens? And how do you handle these challenges?
Right. Now, this representation has been targeted with verbal, misogynistic threats mm-hmm. and harassment aimed at both intimidating and discrediting the work we do in Congress and in communities, both online and on the ground. I have faced a sexist vilification, crude mm-hmm. harassment, and other sexist attacks just for doing my job as a party's representative and standing up against misogyny. And mm-hmm. this poses additional challenges to the performance of our obligation. And this is totally unacceptable. Hindi siya dapat payagan at hindi walang kahit anong tipo ng na justification na yung pwedeng gamitin no, para hayaan natin na magpatuloy ang ganito. Hindi lang sa akin, no, kundi sa kahit sino na nagsasalita para sa kanilang karapatan at ginagawa yung trabaho nila bilang isang miyembro ng Kongreso. These attacks on our representation not only violate our fundamental rights, it also undermines our representation as it creates a chilling effect. If this sexual harassment and threats are done against a member of Congress, what more to an ordinary citizen, an mm-hmm. ordinary member of kabataan who are only speaking up and standing up for their rights? Kaya sa amin, na dapat all out na nalabanan ang kahit anong tipo ng mga atake sa youth and student representation. May it be in the halls of Congress, in social media platforms, cyberspace, and in our schools na dapat zero tolerance sa kahit anong tipo ng vilification and discrimination against students and youth voices.
Now that we've started to enter the talk of representation, you know, these next few questions, medyo meaty. Malaman tong discussion na tong upcoming because I'd like to talk about gender representation now. Because although women make up almost half of the entire Philippine population, female representation in electoral positions is rather slim, especially in higher posts. The latest statistics from the Philippine Statistics Authority show that of all elected officials, only 23.1% are women. From the House level, how does this gap affect decision-making and legislation?
Right now, Ria, I think we're at a 28%. No? Just a 2% na lang na para maabot yung critical mass. Mm-hmm. But for our youth representation, it's the conversation on this must be beyond the numbers. Eh. We must also look at the quality position of our women representatives, our lady legislators, and rights issues. We must continue to support women who are speaking up for women, especially those coming from marginalized and underprivileged background. Tingnan natin yung paggamit at pagdagdag ng boses ng ating mga kinatawan para magdagdag ng boses dun sa panawagan ng sobrang dami pa na nangangalampag sa Kongreso para umaksyon tungkol sa mga issue ng mga kababaihan sa ating bansa. We've taken proactive steps to propose legislative measures through bills and resolutions focused on eliminating barriers women face, especially women from marginalized backgrounds, in conducting successful national and local campaigns. Ang kailangan kasi malaman nila na pwede silang tumakbo at pataasin yung chance nila na manalo. Sa halalan. We can also build partnerships with women organizations in the grassroots and online communities to support women's empowerment and well-being. There can also be a targeted provision of scholarships, financial assistance, a professional development for women and girls in the community. Mainam kasi na yung mga nakakatrabaho, nakakasama pa natin sa mga komunidad pa lamang. Lalong-lalo na yung hindi lang yung nakikitaan natin ng potensyal na mamuno, no, kundi yung meron talagang malinaw na record ng pagsisilbi sa community. No, sila yung mga ninanais natin na marinig at matala ng mga boses sa loob ng Kongreso. We must also step up efforts to combat gender-based discrimination and sexist behaviors in the workplace at present, because all these are discouraging the next generation of women who could also be vulnerable to harassment, threats, or political persecution in the future. Right now, no, we're expanding spaces for solidarity, no, for everyone to work together to protect our women workers, our women leaders, from multiple forms of discrimination, sexism, misogyny, and ensure that we are able to fulfill our mandate and work effectively without fear of reprisal. Hindi dapat mangyari at magpatuloy yung nangyayari at nararanasan ng marami ngayon na kapag nagsalita sila, nare-red tag sila, o kapag nagsalita sila, sinasabihan sila na babae ka lang, o nakikita natin na yung mga tao mismo na may kapangyarihan yung nagpo-propagate ng sexism and misogyny. Kailangan natin i-call out, no, ang ganitong mga tipo ng mga gawain. We must continue to raise our voices together to hold them accountable.
Speaking of being both a youth representative, of course, and being a female representative, has your being a female representative and a young one at that resulted in challenges as you pushed for laws in Congress?
Yes, sa bahagi ko, sa tingin ko, dagdag sa kalakasan ang maging babae sa loob ng Kongreso. It inspires courage, no? And thinking that, you know, there are a lot of women, no, in our history who really made sacrifices, no, to realize all rights, freedoms that we have today. Grabe yung inspirasyon na nadadala ng ganong tipo ng her story, no, ng kasaysayan ng tagumpay ng mga kababaihan. Kaya sa amin, dagdag yun na inspirasyon at tulak. For kabataan, being a genuine youth sectoral party or an organized group of young people whose primary advocacies are on education, human rights, labor, social services, we've come together to work for our dreams for a better life and a better future, not only for our sector, but for our families and for our nation. We are committed, no, to add our voice to the marginalized youth, add our voice, no, with all those who have yet to gather enough courage and confidence to speak up as we work to empower them. Our programs are in line with our mission of Heeding Results Challenge for the youth to become the hope of our land. Yung palagi nating naririnig na ang kabataan ang pag-asa ng bayan. Na, ang kutitignan siya sa lente ng isang hamon na hindi lang siya kahulugan, na hindi automatic na pagkabataan kapag asa ka na agad ng bayan. Kung titignan mo siya bilang isang hamon sa ating henerasyon, ang laki niyang responsibilidad. At yung responsibilidad na yon, hindi pwedeng magkanya-kanya tayo o hindi pwede na iilang tao lang yung gumampan sa tungkulin na yon. Kaya nag-asam talaga tayo na maging collective effort itong representation na to. Hindi lang ito tungkol sa kasalukuyan yung representante o sa mga nominees natin ngayon. No? Pero sa atin to Party list natin ito ng mga kabataan. We make each reform more meaningful and relevant up to the call of the times through conducting dialogues and discussion with even those who may have differing views. We continue to learn from our constituents and fellow youth, especially those from other sectors. Mm-hmm. Young people from peasants, workers, professionals, women, indigenous peoples, people with special needs, and those serving in public offices, makikita mo sa lahat ng sektor na yan, di ba, may kabataan. Kaya, kung nagsasalita yung mga kabataan, parang nagsasalita na rin yung buong bayan. Ganoon talaga yung boses ng mga kabataan. Hindi lang sa pagsasalita sa iba't ibang issues. Napaka-critical din ang participasyon ng kabataan sa panawagan ng pananagutan. The youth's voice in holding power to account. And working with our fellow kabataan, lobbying with and alongside them, speaking up on issues wherever our voice can be amplified and wherever it can contribute to building a truly democratic and humane society. Yun yung mas nangunguna sa atin kung bakit tayo hindi dapat magpatinag sa kabila ng kahit anong tipo ng mga pagmamaliit, discrimination sa boses ng mga kabataan sa loob ng Kongreso. Now we're on our fifth term, no, in bringing politics of hope, action, and development by serving as an independent voice of youth representation in Congress. And we hope that with the 2022 elections na just around the corner, maging tuntungan talaga lahat ng mga napagtagumpay ng mga kabataan in the past years na para magkaroon pa ng mas maraming tagumpay yung mga susunod naman ng mga representante ng kabataan sa
Pilipinas. Youth representation talaga, it's come a long, long way over the last few years. I feel like the youth have been so much more empowered now than it has been siguro before I even got into college. Pero gusto ko lang rin balikan yung nabanggit mo kanina na umabot naman na sa 28% ang representation, very close to the critical mass of 30%. But still, it's below. And yung critical mass naman is, it's still not a very large representation, kumbaga. So, my question is, why do you think this gender gap exists in Philippine politics?
One factor that contributes to that gender gap is the proliferation of political dynasties in power. Kung dati, sunod-sunod lang yan sa isang posisyon, ngayon sunod-sunod na, tapos sabay-sabay pa.
Mm.
Na ituturing na lang bilang mga placeholders yung kumbaga yung mga pumapalit sa kanila na mga kamag-anak rin. Tapos, kumbaga, yun yung nakikita natin na nangyayari pa rin nung magpasa hanggang ngayon. Though, syempre, sasabihin nila na matter pa rin naman yan ng competence eh. Tsaka, basta naman binuboto pa rin kami ng taong bayan eh. Pero ang hindi natin kasi masyadong pinag-uusapan ng kung paano ba yung pagkakaroon ng sobrang dami pa rin mga political dynasties magpasa hanggang ngayon. At yung kawalan ng implementing law ng anti-political dynasty provision ng ating saligang batas. Nakaka-apekto dun sa tsansa ng mga binabanggit natin kanina ng mga kababaihan na gusto rin na makapaglingkod na may malakas na commitment na mag-serve sa kanyang community. Pero dahil yung mga kalaban niya, mga malalaking mga pangalan na matagal nang nasa politika, mas lumiliit yung kanilang tsansa na other chances of getting elected. That's why on the part of this youth representation, we've been long abating for a genuine party-less representation bill in Congress, the anti-political dynasty bill, freedom of information, which can strengthen the people's right to know on the track record position, records of their incumbent officials, and in public financing on electoral campaigns can level the landscape of the difficulty of financing campaign machinery in the Philippines. Sobrang mahal pa rin ng pagtakbo. Kumbaga, parang pinag-uusapan kung meron ka bang kakayahan na karaniwan na translate sa kung may kaya ba yung bulsa mo sa pagtakbo para sa isang posisyon. Ay, hindi dapat ganun. Kaya, sa tingin ng mga kabataan, yung pagkakaroon natin ng bosses at ng isang party-less representation sa loob ng Kongreso, malaking tagumpay siya, oo. Pero, kumbaga, nagsisimula pa lang din tayo pagdating dun sa mas malawak na electoral and suffrage reforms na kinakailangan para yung representation natin sa loob ng Kongreso at sa iba't ibang policy-making bodies tunay na inklusibo sa lahat ng ating mga kababayan. Ano man ang kasarian.
Marami tayong nadaanan, no? Marami kang nabanggit na kailangang gawin para yung representation talaga ng mga kabataan. And not just that sector, of course, all other sectors in politics is made better. I guess as one of the final questions for today, I'd like to ask, what changes do you think need to be made to challenge the status quo of only a few women taking up space in Philippine politics?
First, we have to let women know that they can and they should run for public office. Public service knows no gender. There's no gender requirement in our constitution. Women must be empowered and supported in becoming inclusive and responsive political leaders. Kinakailangan yung suporte dahil hindi madali kumbaga yung susuungin na hindi lang sa pangangampanya, kundi yung mismong pamumuno ng ating mga leaders. We must work together to support women candidates, to increase the possibilities of them winning. We also have to continue looking after each other so we can continue working together to advance women's agenda in public office. Having more women who are speaking up for women and making change for women means better representation in governance. So we must eliminate barriers women face in effective, meaningful, and adequate political participation. We can start with having concrete measures in place for political parties and for public office to grow the number of women members, candidates and officials. There can also be legislative or voluntary quotas with financing incentives. As I said earlier, we need to increase the numbers, but it should not end there. No? Hindi dapat dun matapos sa pagpaparami. We also need to focus on quality and substance. There must be strong commitment from the people to demand the government to work harder to inspire and encourage more women from diverse backgrounds to run for public office. Nabanggit din natin kanina yung mga financing incentives, hindi po ba? Isang 2008 survey ng Interparliamentary Union, they found that female parliamentarians viewed lack of financing as a more significant deterrent to entering politics than their male counterparts. Lalo-lalo pa dito sa ating bansa, no, kung saan talagang napakalaki ng divide, no, pagdating sa income, sa digital access, sa yung access sa malawak na campaign machinery. No, kaya kinakailangan talaga yung malaking suporta, no, para maghalal pa ng mas maraming babae na naninindigan para sa mga babae sa Kongreso at sa iba pang pampublikong opisina. There's also a need, no, an urgent need to change deeply ingrained patriarchal attitudes and practices that perpetuate gender roles and stereotypes. These measures should include awareness raising and public educational campaigns, not only addressing women and girls, but also men and boys, and also community leaders, with an aim to eliminate these stereotypes associated with traditional gender roles in the family and in society. Encouragement for more women in public office that can be expressed solidly through these affirmative actions and measures. Ito yung mga kinakailangan natin na kumbaga itulak pa, no, at institutionalize, no, para bigyan ng buong-buong suporta ang lahat ng mga kababaihan at lahat ng ating mga kababayan mula sa karaniwang tao na tumakbo, no, sa mga pampublikong posisyon.
Marami pa talagang kailangang gawin, ano, to make sure that the country keeps up in terms of representation. Ayun nga, not just more women, but yung quality rin ng leadership dapat up to the standard that the country deserves. So, before we let you go, Ms. Sarah, as a final note, what message would you like to impart for young women who might want to get involved in politics in the future?
Have faith in yourself, stay grounded, trust the capacity of your constituents to serve and work with and alongside you. Kinakailangan yung tiwala sa ating mga kasama, kasapi, sa ating kapwa, sa ating komunidad, no, para magtagumpay sa inyong napagkaisahang agenda. Preparation is also key, no? Start writing in a journal, no? Isa yun sa lagi kong binibigay din na payo, no? Kung hindi pa kayo nagsisimula na magsulat sa isang journal, isa sa mga nais ko sana na sinimulan ko ng mas maaga ay yung pagsusulat sa isang journal. Write more about your experiences so it won't be hard for you to look back and learn from your journey. May ipon mo rin, di ba, kung ano ba yung mga lessons, mga karanasan, at yung mga pwedeng aral na mabahagi pa sa mas marami na mga katulad nating mga kabataan at mga kababaihang lingkod bayan. At pinakahuli, ninanais kong sabihin sa'yo na hindi ka nag-iisa. You are not alone in the pursuit of better representation for the people and with the people. Your sisters are behind you. No, kasama mo kami na hindi mawawalan ng pag-asa at magpapatuloy ng laban at ng paninindigan para sa isang pamumuno at pamamahala na walang abuso, walang diskriminasyon, walang pagmamaliit sa kahit sino man, at higit sa lahat, yung pamamahala na uunahin yung interes ng tao, interes ng planeta, interes ng ating bayan. Kasama mo kami No, at magkikita-kita tayo sa iba't ibang espaso ng paglilingkod. Muli, maraming maraming salamat.
And with that, maraming maraming salamat, Miss Sarah, for this wonderful and insightful conversation today. I learned a lot, and I'm sure that our listeners did too. We hope that the near future brings us closer to eliminating the gender gap, not just in politics, but also across all other fields. Again, thank you so much.
That's all for this episode of On Point, the Guidance podcast arm where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. Special thanks to our executive producers, Samantha Onglatko and Martin Ramos, as well as our producers, Tatiana L. Maligro, Andrea Michaela Llanes, Neil R. Reyes, and Beatriz C. Reyes. This episode was edited by Kirsten Iforong. Our cover art is by Tiffany Koo, and our theme music is brought to you by Vivid Productions. This has been Ria Tenido. Thank you for going on point with us.